We're reading from the scriptures. This is the message version, a more conversational version of scripture. This is from the letter to the church at Colossae, chapter 1. We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Christ and finds its purpose in Christ. Christ was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, Christ organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. Christ was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. Christ is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, Christ is there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is Christ, so expansive that everything of God finds its proper place in Christ without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of Christ's death, Christ's blood that poured down from the cross. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. It was 1925. Mussolini had been the leader of Italy for 3 years, and a rabble-rouser named Hitler had been out of jail for a year, and his Nazi party was growing in popularity. The world lay in a Great Depression, a depression that would become far worse over the next 15 years. This is what Pope Pius XI saw in the world. This is why he inaugurated in 1925 what we now call Reign of Christ Sunday. At that moment, amidst the rise of anxiety and authoritarian figures, the church needed the image of Christ, the wounded and crucified one, the humble servant, the healer, the prophet of peace and justice, as the one seated on the throne. At that moment, the world of Christian faith and maybe the world as a whole needed a reminder of what a true leader looked like, what power was for, and where it came from. In such a time, Pope Pius XI, amidst all of those new dictators and false values in the world, proclaimed Christ as sovereign of the universe. And that proclamation can and should be made again today. For we too live amidst actual and would-be authoritarians seeking worldly power, promising to quench human fear and anxiety by bringing a certain kind of law and order, punishing the troublemakers, those others who are the cause of our anxiety and struggles. Humans here and all around the world can still be tempted by the simple solution of blame, separation, and domination. I believe the Apostle Paul would see this movement toward the authoritarian as the powers and principalities of death at work. That is to say, they threaten the very fabric of life. Now, last Sunday, we affirmed life over death, focusing on the acceptance of and the wisdom in our mortality. We affirmed that life, capital L, holds our personal death and even overcomes it beyond our ego self. This Reign of Christ Sunday, we affirm something even bigger, that the Christ power of life overcomes the powers and principalities of death. These powers of death might use our individual fear of death to control or threaten, But their drive and their consequence is not merely about individual mortality, but about the death of life itself. Operating with dominant power over others and expecting and enforcing the acquiescence and oppression of many, including the earth, the powers of death act against God's intention for creation, the very principle of interdependence of all, and the soul's longing for freedom, connection, and wholeness. Indeed, when these powers reign, the powers of death, there is not the love that heals and connects, but the fear that divides, and the distrust that separates and discourages. When Caesar or Mussolini are on the throne, nuclear winter and ecological collapse are on the horizon. Genocide and apartheid are nearby, while idols, entertainments, and distractions seek to mute that underlying depression and disempowerment. The same will happen when consumerism, militarism, materialism, and tribalism are on the throne reigning. Pretty fun so far, huh? That JT, he's a fun preacher. We speak of these things because we are at the end of our cycle. And knowing about the end helps us know about the whole. And so we talk about death. And it might help us to know the book called Denial of Death. Ernst Becker wrote that, a Pulitzer Prize winning book in the early 1970s. In that book, he claims that human civilization is ultimately an elaborate symbolic defense mechanism against the knowledge of our mortality. That our basic survival instinct, our drive to exist as a distinct person, is challenged by the impossibility of bodily immortality. And humanity then is able to transcend that dilemma of mortality through an immortality project, in which one creates or becomes part of something which one feels will be part of something eternal, something that will never die, giving one the feeling that one's life has meaning, a purpose, a significance in the grand scheme of things. I can appreciate that. I think I'd like to participate in something bigger than my own life. People who have money sometimes give it and put their name on a building. Becker argues that the conflict between immortality projects, which contradict each other, is the wellspring for the destruction and misery in our world caused by wars and bigotry, genocide, racism, nationalism, and so forth. Since an immortality project which contradicts others indirectly suggests that others are wrong. Now, I want to say I don't think Becker was suggesting that immortality projects are necessarily bad things. Indeed, that they are necessary, but that they can become bad, even evil. Our inability to find peace with the paradox of meaningful life and inevitable death does create trouble at times if we don't watch what we're doing with our immortality project. If in our deep angst about death, our deep identification with our ego, if in that way our ego drives our immortality project, we might drive that project right over someone else. The Nazis were a collective expression of German anxiety of national death, of national non-being, as the theologian Paul Tillich would say. Indeed, their unconscious terror, terror of not surviving the traumatic times of and after World War I, became their reason to inflict terror. Their immortality project was known as the Third Reich and was supposed to last for 1,000 years. I could list many others. The powers and principalities that Paul talks of take over human immortality projects and empower the reign of many antichrists, known by tragic names in our present and past, names of infamous leaders, and by the names of the isms that have steamrolled over people and planet. Now, the writer of today's scripture poem, probably not the Apostle Paul, but the next generation after Paul, that hymn we heard in Colossians, proclaims another sovereign power, another head and heart of all things, the eternal sovereign Christ presence, the one that they witnessed and worshiped, the one that we're called to witness and worship. Now, in that time, it was practically subversive to claim another sovereign power other than Caesar and the Empire of Rome. More importantly, it was subversive to not live the way of that culture, that empire culture where might makes right, where you get yours first and defeat your enemies, and where the desires of the few eclipse the needs of the many and of creation. Our invitation of faith here, now, today, our invitation of faith is still the same, to be subversive in that way, to let the Christ way reign. Now, I want to be clear, not Christ as a mascot for our team, for our tribe, not Christ as a figurehead, not Christ as our Caesar, but the way of Christ to be our sovereign authority, the author of our days, the shaper of our ways of being and our ways of being together. Because our sovereign is not an emperor, not a CEO or a conventional leader, but a wounded healer, a prophet of speaking truth to power, a radically welcoming gatherer of the marginalized, a devout student of the great mystery, and a peaceful warrior of the soul surrendered to service. That's our sovereign. You might be wondering if this sounds all too lofty and pie in the sky, Christ as sovereign. Maybe. Might be. I've been known as an idealist. But faith can seem that way sometimes, a kind of foolishness, at least from the perspective of conventional culture. Indeed, history has much to suggest Caesar and Caesar's ways and values are still in charge. It doesn't seem like Christ is reigning. And yet the invitation of faith remains to let the way of Christ reign, even to trust that it has already begun. Listen again to the passage from the New Revised Standard Version. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the realm of the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. The realm of God is already amongst you, within you. Past tense, it has already been done, initiated. It's already here. It is the power of resurrection where the way of life conquers even the empires and ways of death. So this message today, even including the one last week, the two-part set, it's about the conclusion, the end of our annual cycle of telling the sacred story of Jesus as Christ and of the call of Christ Jesus to the people, to us. And what an appropriate end toward which we journey, the reign of Christ in our lives and societies, like that mobile that Brooklyn held, that point, that rain, that top place that organizes it all. And I'll say it again, I want to be clear, this can be dangerous language especially when you're part of the dominant culture. Let me be clear, this is not the reign of Christians or of one religion, tribal and dominant. Not a rigid and punishing theocracy, not a culture of conformity. Instead, our prayer, our invitation of faith, is like our final song in today's worship. Lead on, eternal sovereign, we follow in your way. Loud rings your cry for justice, your call for peace this day. Through prayerful preparation, your grace will make us strong to carry on the struggle to triumph over wrong. Lead on, eternal sovereign. We follow not with fear, for in each human conflict, your words of strength we hear, that when we serve with gladness, you will not let us fall. Our trust is in your promise that love will conquer all. Lead on, eternal sovereign, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and all your saints together will sing a hymn of peace. Then in all your dominion, we'll live with hearts set free to love and serve each other for all eternity. May this be our song and our prayer. May the call of the Reign of Christ Sunday reach us all and us together. Amen.